Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, September 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. It's not even October, but before you know it, it's going to be time to get all your paperwork together to do your taxes next year. And current market conditions give taxpayers a reason to start planning out their year-end tax strategies now.
This is a good time to take a fresh look at your investments, especially your stocks, because so many of them have been hit so hard recently.
On today's show, Wall Street Journal contributor Tom Herman will tell us how those losses can actually work to your advantage. That and other tips to help ease your tax bill next year after the break.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Taxes are one of life's few guarantees, as the saying goes, but while it might seem a little early to think about traditional year-end tax strategies, making certain moves now could wind up keeping more money in your pocket and less in Uncle Sam's. WSJ contributor Tom Herman joins us with more. Tom, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, JR. Good to be with you.
So, Tom, we're not even into October yet, so why should people start thinking about their year-end tax plans now?
Well, there is still plenty of time to take a few relatively simple steps to save money on your taxes this year, but it's smart to start thinking about it now rather than waiting until the final hour. Some of these steps may require some homework on your part, and they may take time to execute, so don't wait until just before New Year's Eve.
All right, so let's talk about a few areas that people can start focusing on now. For a lot of people, their investments have taken a beating this year, but how can that work to their advantage regarding next year's tax bill?
This is a good time to take a fresh look at your investments, especially your stocks, because so many of them have been hit so hard recently. If you were to consider selling something, consider selling it now rather than waiting. Those losses can be very valuable at tax time for a number of reasons. Number one, you can offset your losses and your gains dollar for dollar with no upper limit. So for instance, if you had a $10,000 gain earlier this year and you now sell stocks for a $10,000 loss, you put the two together and you don't have to pay any capital gains tax on that $10,000 gain earlier this year. Then there's another factor that many people don't know, and that is supposing your losses are bigger than your gains, and that's the case with a lot of investors these days. In most cases, you can take up to $3,000 of your realized net losses against your other income, such as your wages and other income. So that's a very valuable thing to keep in mind. The limit is only $1,500 if you're married and filing separately, but most people don't. So that's a very valuable thing to do. And if you have even more losses, you can spread them over future years. In fact, excess amounts get carried over into future years.
So those losses can benefit people beyond the current tax year. But what if you have stocks that have fallen a lot, but you like the stock, you like the company, and you still want to own them?
That's the case in many of my friends, and it's a very natural feeling. But if you have something that you still want to hang on to, you can sell it and then buy it back. But you have to make sure that you don't violate what's called the wash sale rule. You don't want to sell it and have bought it within 30 days before or after the sale. If you violate the wash sale rule, then you're not allowed to deduct your loss, and that's shooting yourself in the foot. So you want to make sure that you do not violate the wash sale rule. However, if you do, there is a silver lining. Typically, you get to add the amount that was disallowed of the loss to the cost of the new securities you purchased. But it's better just not to violate that wash sale rule.
Now, for some people, their tax strategy might involve buying mutual funds toward the end of the year. Why is it a popular option, and what tips should people keep in mind?
Many investors may be tempted to rush back into mutual funds because the market has fallen so sharply and they see bargains. But if you do, watch out for a very painful tax trap that can catch you if you buy mutual fund shares between now and mid to late December. It's very easy to fall into this trap if you're not careful and if you don't do some research. Check to see whether the fund you're thinking of investing in is planning to make what's called a year-end capital gains distribution. That may sound great, but remember that if you're buying for a taxable account, that is typically taxable. So you may be paying tax that you could easily have avoided just by waiting until after the date to qualify for that payout. So check to see if the fund is planning a payout. You can usually find that by looking at the fund's website. Most funds post this information on their website. And then make sure that you're not investing in a taxable account if it's planning a large payout and if it would increase your taxes significantly. Otherwise, you're shooting yourself in the foot. One way to do it is to invest in that fund for a tax-advantaged account, such as an IRA. Or another way is simply to invest in a different fund for the time being and then move into the other fund after the payout.
And people often make charitable donations to chip away at their tax bill, but they usually focus on that well into the fourth quarter of the year. Why should they start thinking about that now?
For example, supposing you are looking at your tax return that you're going to have to fill out next year for this year, and you realize that this year you're going to itemize your deductions, but next year you're probably going to take the standard deduction. In that case, consider taking an unusually large amount of deductions this year. Make your charitable donations now for this year and for next year. That way you can deduct them for this year, and next year you won't be able to because you'll be taking the standard deduction. If you take the standard deduction, you can't deduct charitable donations. That's known as bunching.
And Tom, while you're here, the IRS has made some revisions to rules that affect teachers in particular. What details are important there?
Many teachers and other educators pay for classroom supplies out of their own pockets. These would include computer equipment or books. Those may be deductible. For the 2022 tax year, that is for this year, if you keep good records, the maximum deduction per person is $300. That's up from $250 for 2021. And the limit is $600, up from $500 last year, for joint filers, where husbands and wives are filing together. That's only the case, though, where both spouses are eligible educators, and they can't take more than $300 each. But not all educators are eligible for this. You're eligible in most cases if you're a kindergarten through grade 12 teacher or a counselor or a principal or aides, and you have to have worked in a school for at least 900 hours during the school year. It applies whether you're in public or private schools, but homeschooling costs do not count. This is the first time these annual limits have gone up in a long time.
All right, some good tips to make note of now from WSJ contributor Tom Herman. Tom, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
Great to see you again, JR. Thanks.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.